Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Ahoy, friends. Thank you for tuning into Truth and Justice. This week, we have another Double Dip Friday follow-up. We heard a great candid conversation between Bob and Liz Rose about our Season 6 case and her mother, Sandy Melgar. We followed that up with a heartbreaking episode about Marcellus Williams and our plea for the stay of execution. I know this week stirred up a lot of emotions, and Bob, Janet, and I are here to discuss it all. But before we get into that, less than an hour before we started recording, we got some major breaking news.
Yes, we got some huge news. I'm going to circle back to the Marcellus Williams case, but literally at 9 a.m. Eastern time this morning on Tuesday, maybe old news by the time you guys are hearing this on Friday, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals issued its final order on the Carrie Max Cook case. I just realized I forgot my glasses, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, "In perhaps one of the most notable murder cases of the last half century, applicant Carrie Max Cook applies for a writ of habeas corpus that his conviction be set aside under due process grounds and because he is actually innocent. Marked by bookends of deception spanning over 40 years, this case has traversed a winding odyssey through our justice system stretching back to 1977. The order goes on and on and on and ends with Carrie Max Cook has now been fully exonerated and declared actually innocent in the state of Texas, which is, if any of you followed his case all the way back from season two, is just absolutely incredible. Carrie's been fighting for this forever. I want to make clear, this is what happened here has nothing to do with anything that I've done. This has been working through the courts through the Innocence Project of Texas and Carrie's attorneys and Carrie himself along the way. But this has been his fight for years and years. His conviction, he was tried multiple times, case was overturned and then convicted again, sentenced. He was on death row for years. He had a horrific experience in prison. He wrote a book about it. We talked a lot about during season two as a book that I highly recommend reading. The name of the book is Escaping My Brain.
Chasing Justice.
Chasing Justice is the name of the book. Back in 2016, his conviction was vacated based on due process violations, but was not declared actually innocent. That's finally been done, and what that means for Carrie is that he is officially, legally, and factually innocent of this crime. And what it also means for Carrie is that after 40 years of fighting, he is finally, not only has justice been served, but Carrie is also entitled to the money that is paid to people who are wrongfully convicted and declared actually innocent in Texas. So hopefully that means that very quickly here, once he is paid out by the state, Carrie will be able to live out the rest of his life comfortably without struggle due to the work that's been done in his case that he is now actually innocent. So big congratulations to Carrie Max Cook. This is incredible, incredible news.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
And a thank you to the Texas Court of Appeals. I mean, it's really encouraging that, I mean, obviously he shouldn't have had to fight so hard for so long, but it is very heartening that the group of individuals on that end saw fit to do right by him and to be, like you were saying, like fairly scathing about what the whole journey encompassed. Like, that gives me hope.
Yeah, a lot. And also, that hope translates into our other cases too, because this has been, you know, 8 years since the conviction was vacated, that this order finally comes down, that he declared actually innocent. So we think about Jesse's case and Sandy's case and Pablo Velez and, you know, the other cases that we've worked out of, and Jennifer Jeffley that we've worked out of Texas, that when you get to that point where you kind of feel like you've missed your chance, it's been too long, everybody's kind of forgotten about it, that the wheels of justice are still turning and that there is still a chance to finally have the right thing done, after even if it takes over 4 decades, which is outrageous in and of itself, but at least it's done now. All right, and back to the Marcellus Williams case that we just covered this week. Big shout out to our audience so far. If you haven't done this yet, do it now. Since our episode aired, we have added over 10,000 signatures to the petition to stop the execution of Marcellus Williams. So that's awesome. You guys came through. If you haven't signed it yet, there's a lot more of you than 10,000 listening. So make sure that you get on there, sign that petition. It's easy. Super easy to do.
So easy.
Only takes a minute.
The easiest thing ever.
And so hopefully we get some movement on that case. And before we get into, we don't have many questions now, so we'll get a little bit of housekeeping on where we're going from here before we get into the thoughts on the episodes and some of the questions that we do have. Today, I am recording the final bonus episode, the conclusion of season 14. And that is an interview with Jim Clemente. We're going to talk about the work they're doing on Real Crime Profile. They just did a series on the Baby Reindeer case, and he wants to talk a little bit more about that case and his thoughts on that. So we're going to talk about some of that. Going to record that today. That'll air on Sunday, and then we'll do next week's follow up, and that will be the conclusion of the season 14, what's become the Non-Sayed season, the reply brief season, into kind of our bonus fillers. And then next weekend, June 30th, we are launching season 15. We were just talking about in the pregame, we've got a lot of balls in the air with that right now. My student Caden was out in the office Monday. We were working on music all day. We've got the intro music nailed down and some of the rest of the sound design for the season. Eric and I have been in the field, I think, 5 times now so far, out, on the streets interviewing people. So we've got a bunch of interviews we're going through. We're starting to index those. We've started to storyboard the first episode, getting ready to put that script together. 2 more interviews we're recording on Monday that are going to be a part of, some of them will be a part of episode 1. So we are ready to launch. Still in the craziest fight I've ever had for getting records with the city in question. That it's not going to slow us down or stop us from doing what we're doing. And it's that fight is also going to become part of the season, because, if they're not going to just do the right and legal thing and turn over documents that are required by law for them to do it, then I'm going to ask you guys to put that pressure on them to make this happen, because something's got to give in this case, in this city. It's just, there's just so much tragedy going on here that I think we can do so much good. We do have, I might post today, which is Wednesday when we're recording this. I may go ahead and post today. Zach helped us finalize our season 15 logo. So that is done. We're going to put that out today. Some Easter eggs in there that can help people kind of figure out what we're doing. I know a few people have started to poke around a little bit and have an idea of the case that we're going to be working on, but super excited. I could not be more excited. I was telling before we started this, just having somebody in the office every day, helping get this stuff together, because we are juggling so many things at one time. Like Zach had said, it's kind of old school Truth and Justice, boots on the ground type work that we're doing. But it's not even that. It's more so than that, because it's 20 minutes away from us. So we're able to, one of the days that Eric and I were out working on the case, we talked to a bunch of people, got some background, got some things scheduled, didn't end up being able to get anything recorded that day. It was kind of a bust. I was just talking about how different this is, because usually if something like that happens, that means, I flew to California and I have 3 days to work and one of them just got burned and we're screwed. Now it's just like, cool, well, let's regroup. We'll go tomorrow morning and we'll do it again. And we're able to just keep running down the road and get this kind of work done.
I think the most disheartening thing for me so far is just the fact that you hear all these stories, You've traveled all over the country dealing with these stories, and we hear it over and over again, but the fact that it's literally in our backyard is disgusting. And what you're going through is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, Zach has a lot of the inside scoop of what we're doing, trying to get records. You guys will hear about it in these first couple of episodes, but just the conflict of interest and situation that we're in general is outrageous, and how it's being handled is even worse. So that's all coming. So you get to hear Jim on Sunday. One more follow up of us just yapping, and then it's time to get back to work, and that's what we're gonna be doing next week. And with that stuff being said, what'd you guys think about the two episodes? We had two episodes this week.
Sure. Well, it was great to hear from Liz. I also had the privilege of getting to spend a little time around her at that meetup that you discussed in your conversation with her that we did back in that December a couple of years ago in LA. And, you know, I think I speak for all the listeners when I say it's really bittersweet ever to hear about Sandy, because it's such an upsetting circumstance and she's been through so much. By the same token, it's nice to hear that Liz is doing well and that Sandy's fighting and that she has affected change in the prison by virtue of just what she's gone through and like things that she's, you know, brought up and that have been changed. So that's really positive, but we got to get her out of there.
Yeah. And again, that's the development in Carrie Max Cook's case is it just breathes in that just kind of feeling of hope a little bit, like this can still happen. It can still happen. We can still get this done.
For me, I loved hearing from Liz. There are moments that in that conversation that were a little scary, a little terrifying to hear that she's doing some of this work on her own, but in the way that she's going about it.
You don't know the half of it.
Terrifying to me. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. I absolutely get it, but it's just terrifying. And knowing that Liz is a very tiny little woman, you know, she's really busting her ass to get this done. And it's nice to hear, but also there's moments where it's absolutely terrifying.
Well, what an insane position for her to be in, where she is not only trying to fight to get her mother out of prison, but also trying to fight to get justice for her father at the same time. Yeah. Like, you know, she's on both, and we've never had that situation before where somebody's like stuck in the middle of it. She essentially lost both of her parents due to the incompetence of the Harris County Police Sheriff's Department.
Well, and it sounds like the way to get her mother out is she's going to have to find out who killed her father, period. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be almost the only route to get her out.
That's what's always so frustrating about those cases where this case was so ridiculous and flimsy to begin with. Like, you don't have that much meat to work with to undo stuff, right? So it's, you know, the case never made sense. So how do you disprove something that didn't make sense to begin with? Factually and practically, it's easy, but like in a court of law, the burdens you have to go through to undo a case like that are extremely difficult. Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Thank you.
Missing People says, when is Sandy up for parole?
I think we talked about that in the episode, but it'll be it's like 7 years. So she was sentenced to 27 years in prison. And in Texas, you got to serve half your sentence. So that's, 13 and a half years. She's mm-hmm. been in for seven. So I think about six and a half years before she'll be up for parole.
And I think Liz said she'd be 70 years old when she was up for parole.
Yeah. And that's seven. Like we just heard with Carrie's case, like Carrie's had this 40 year plus fight and it's been 8 years since his conviction was vacated way back when. So like saying 7 years, like, okay, well that's not that far away. We can do it. But also, yeah, I mean, she's 63 years old. Like it has health issues. Like how long are we going to drag this out?
The other thing from Liz's episode too is to hear all the people that worked on the case that are no longer part of law enforcement was very eye opening for, you know, for various reasons, but it was definitely eye opening to hear.
Well, and so many, you know, like the lead detectives that were fired from the sheriff's department, then fired from the DA's. We knew that back then when mm-hmm. we did it. It's like these are obviously not people that are great at their job. And yet we're leaving this woman trapped in prison for all these years based on the shoddy work that they did. What about the Marcellus Williams episode?
That's a case I didn't know a whole lot about. Really heartbreaking to hear that the fact that they had a stay of execution and then it just gets completely overturned, even though the prosecution is fighting for it to stay. You know what I mean? It just, the whole thing is absolutely heartbreaking. I cannot understand why they are trying to push this forward like they are.
Well, you mentioned like you didn't know much about the case. So I saw everybody posting about, actually, because, you know, I'm not on social media much. Mm-hmm. Becky had sent me a post somebody else had shared and said, hey, is this guy actually innocent? Should I sign this petition? And I'm like, well, I'm not. Let me look into the case. And so I literally got on the podcast app and Googled Marcellus Williams trying to see if there was a trusted content creator out there that had done an episode on it so that I could, because it seemed familiar to me, like somebody that I can listen to so I can get some of the facts of the case. And like when I searched it up, it was like Truth and Justice season two, you know, whatever that episode. I'm like, wait, I did it? And so I had to go back and listen to. That's how I found that old episode. I was like, huh. So, and then it came back to me when I played it. And then I got just as mad hearing it again as I did when I did it the first time.
So we did talk about the petition right now, and I saw it come up really quick, so I think we should address it. Where can we find this petition?
It's on the Innocence Project. It's innocenceproject.org. And I think they have a splash screen on there. There is, in Sunday's episode, there's a hyperlink in the description. You can literally scroll down and just click right to it from the episode. But if you go to, I think it's innocenceproject.org, and there should be something on the splash screen that says stop the execution of Marcellus Williams. It's that simple. And then if you're on a desktop, I don't know about on a phone, but like on a desktop, it's like, because I had a hard time figuring out where it was at on the screen. I was reading all the stuff and I realized it was off on the right-hand side. It's just literally like your name, your phone number, whatever you had to put in there. And I know some international folks were saying there was some issues because they had, you know, international phone numbers that they couldn't get it to take them. And then somebody had said, just leave it off. You just don't need to put your phone
number. Yeah, you don't have to leave your phone number. I didn't.
Also, I know that it's been shared in our fan group too, if you're part of our official Truth and Justice fans page.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, it's easy. So either go to innocenceproject.org, look at the description of the last episode. I'll probably put it in the description of this episode as well. It's all over the place. It's not hard to find. I'm pretty sure if you just Google Marcellus Williams petition, it'll probably come up just as easily that way.
Yeah, I was listening when I was on a walk and it was perfect. You said, stop what you're doing right now. Go to the link in the show notes. I was listening on my phone. I clicked one thing. It was right there for me. It took me 2 seconds to enter in my information and one more second to post it on Facebook. And then I continued on my walk. I was like, that could not have been more easy. So thanks for doing that.
Awesome. Yeah. And so everybody do that. Let's get that. Last I knew we were over 80,000 signatures. Let's see if we can break 100,000. That would be great.
Absolutely.
Janet, what were your thoughts about the Marcellus Williams episode?
Again, another just sort of terrifying, you know, we've had all of these cases where different people from different walks of life with different backgrounds and different criminal records, some none at all, and some a little bit more robust for various things. That we have seen put into prison for the wrong reasons, for being completely innocent of the crime that they've been convicted of. And I get the sense on this one, I'm sure I'm not the only one, I think it's kind of widely known, that this is one of those people that the state of Missouri in this case, but that people just find easy to sort of throw away. And then if they have any kind of record at all, then, you know, officials who are trying to save face and stuff kind of lean hard on that and make it about something bigger than, like, is this person responsible for this crime? If not, I don't care. Like, get them a new trial, get them justice. So it's interesting, and it's heartbreaking, and it's just appalling that the prosecutor is saying, hey, this person is innocent, we really screwed this up, and that the powers that be, including the governor, are like, cool, I'm not listening to you at all, let's kill this person.
So it's the most bizarre thing
I'm
I've
speechless.
Ever heard.
Mm-hmm. I'm speechless.
Yeah, it's not the defense, it's the prosecution saying, no, this guy deserves a new trial. I have no confidence in the conviction. The conviction needs to be overturned. And then, yeah, the attorney general's office above them are like, nah, we're going to kill him. Let's just kill him.
I mean, it's just fear inside the machine. It's like, that's the system asserting itself, trying to protect itself. And it's fear, and it's ugly, and it's incredibly disappointing. And we just can't tolerate it.
No, it makes no sense. And that comes on the heels of why we're working on this new case. And I'm just seeing that everybody trying to protect everybody else and trying to, you know, play hide the ball and hide from the truth. It's the same thing. Like they would rather let a person sit in prison or rather let somebody be murdered by the state than admit that they made a mistake. And it also goes to show you how little the powers that be care about the victims too. That's what drives me crazy in a lot of these cases too. Like, do you even care that the person that actually murdered them is walking free and has never been brought to justice for it, has never paid for their crime at all? Like, you're so intent on finality of justice that you're just going to let that go? Because they know. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way the governor, there's no way that the justices on the Missouri Supreme Court or the attorney general's office, there's no way that anyone can look at this case and think, yep, I'm sure he did it. Like, fine, I'll give you. Maybe there are people that are like, I'm still not sure, but that's as far as it goes. Nobody can be. How can you be certain when the DNA testing on the murder weapon comes back to somebody else and an almost identical crime happened right down the road shortly before this with unknown DNA? Like, to be so afraid of the truth that you won't even say, you know what, let's compare those two DNA samples. And then there's also the argument, I learned more about it as I researched after I did the episode. You know, the DNA on the knife, I guess the state's argument, not the obviously the current prosecutor, but the state's argument on that is, well, that could be the husband's DNA. They're saying that could be the husband's DNA. They have the husband's DNA on file, and they are refusing to compare them to find out if it's the husband's DNA.
I just don't understand what they have to gain by doing this, especially when the prosecution's there with them. Prosecution saying this guy is innocent, deserves a new trial. What does the governor and the attorney general have to gain or lose? Because this is from their predecessors, right? Like,
yeah.
So this really doesn't fall on them.
I never understand. There's this attitude of we stand on the finality of justice, right? So which is all about, that's, you know, that's why the different limitations are there for appeals and things, that you can't just keep wasting the court's time, money, and resources over and over and over again and appealing things that don't need to be appealed. They're trying to stand on finality of justice. At the same time, I don't know, if it's political, like, is it just, no, we're tough on crime, we kill murderers. I don't, because it doesn't make sense, especially in today's day and age, where in the age of all these true crime podcasts and documentaries and everything, where the people of the United States and worldwide are much more aware of the fact that wrongful convictions do happen and mistakes are made and they need to be overturned. Like, nobody, that position, that tough on crime position, isn't popular like it used to be. You know, now it's like, no, the heroes are the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals declaring Kerry and Max Cook actually innocent. Those are the heroes in the story. The villains in the story are the ones that are continuing to hide on the truth behind this veil of protecting finality of justice and being tough on crime. Like, I feel like they're just behind the times in the fact that they think they're doing what's going to be more popular for their constituents. And maybe that's the case in certain small patches of people, cross sections of people around the country. But I think the overwhelming majority is becoming much more aware and enlightened about how our system works and that we need to fix these problems.
Well, I think it goes back to fear. I think it goes back to fear with constituents who are really uncomfortable with the possibility that so much could be going wrong. That's a really overwhelming feeling, especially if you're not boots on the ground or connected to it in the way that so many of our listeners are, where they want to be a part of affecting positive change, it's sort of a bury your head in the sand thing. And that there is a sense of, I mean, you said it, like the political side of it, I think is, it's an easy overgeneralization, I think, for some parties to just go, oh, well, this is just about, oh, all the cops are bad now. I get it. All the cops are bad and all the guilty people are innocent. So we should listen to you. And they just make this blanket statement that has nothing to do with the individual cases that are being adjudicated or that are being contested. And they just go like, well, you know, it's just these bleeding hearts who blah, blah, blah. It's like, you can have myriad of different political perspectives on what you do with your money, how you practice your religion, blah, blah, like everything. And you can still think that an innocent person shouldn't be in prison.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
And this goes so far beyond that, because the steps that they've taken are beyond that, because they're saying, we're going to kill him in September. While all these questions are out there about the case, the hurry to murder is what's crazy. There's no reason for it. There's absolutely no reason, when these questions still exist, to move forward with an execution date. Even if you just need to look into it a little further and you're not convinced, don't kill him. Don't kill him and fucking figure it out later. Figure it out before you put somebody to death. Or here's an idea. Let's just stop murdering people. Let's just stop doing that. Maybe that's a good idea.
No, it's really, really bad. And I think the idea that it could just be, well, this is just a message. This is a message to anyone who thinks that they can affect change. This is a message to anyone who thinks that they're going to get their way and that anything that they can do is going to stop the machine. We're going to go ahead and sacrifice this person to just prove to you that none of that matters. We're going to do whatever we want. And if they think that that's going to quiet people down, they're sorely mistaken.
No, and I think, and I'm dealing with it right now with season 15 prep. It's like nobody's learning their lesson. Like, everybody has to learn the lesson the fucking hard way every time. And you'd think that they would be aware of what's happening. I'm going to tell you right now, this municipality that we're dealing with for season 15 has no fucking idea what's about to happen to them. And it is not at all because I want to do anything bad for the city or that I have a grudge or a bone to pick, but I will make you do your fucking job. And if you're not going to do it, then I have 100,000 people that are coming with me. They're going to make you do your fucking job. And this is not a new phenomenon. This has been going on because of this medium, the space where people actually have the opportunity and the voice to talk. This has been going on nationwide for years. And it's almost shocking to me, like, what's happening with us right now, trying to get these records and trying to just get the information we need about this case. Somehow I'm still shocked every time. Like, how do you not know? Why do you think this is going to go your way? It's not going to go your way. This is going to be the worst fucking nightmare that's ever happened to you if you don't do your job. I don't know. I got on a rant and lost my train of thought.
No, no, no. We love the rant. We love the rant. It's exciting to know that we're getting into that
but
so soon.
But it's like you said in this case, like, how do they not get it? I don't know how they don't get it. And I think Danielle said in the YouTube chat, you know, she's, they're afraid of, when we were asking like the why, like they're afraid of opening up a can of worms. And there's, I think there's something to that. I don't know if you guys remember years ago, I interviewed a guy named Andrew Collins. I don't remember if it was on this show or on True Crime Binge. I think it was on our show.
I think it was on this show.
Yeah. I think it was before you moved to True Crime.
Yeah. He was a cop, in the city of Benton Harbor, which, as I gave that little clue the other day, that's the city we're going to be working in the same time frame. He was mixed up with him in the kind of the culture of that city police department around that time. They were planting evidence. They were framing people for crimes. They were stealing stuff. And he got caught and went to prison and has done his best to make amends since then. But because of that, and I'm pulling this number off the top of my head, could be completely wrong, but the number stuck in my head was something like 64 other convictions got overturned because it called into question every case that he worked on, where there was, they couldn't trust it because he's been known to plant evidence. And so maybe there is some of that, the can of worms. But in this case, we're not even talking about police corruption or planted evidence. It's literally just open with Williams' case. It's open questions, right? There's DNA. Let's find out who the DNA belongs to. and let's compare it to, let's find out if it was the husbands, all these, I don't even know what can of worms would be open, but I'm sure, like Danielle said, that's probably part of it.
Yeah. I mean, that I think that comes up all the time too, is yeah, people will say, well, what if this, then we're just going to have this social unraveling of everything we knew to be safe and true. And like, good, all these people are going to come out of the woodwork. And yeah, you should be afraid that guilty people are going to walk free and da 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 da. It's like, let's take it one day at a time. Let's take it one case at a time. Shut up.
Right. And like I said, if that's the case, good. Fix it. Like, at some point, if we're going to fix the criminal justice system and the problems we have, at some point you have to rip the Band-Aid off. Like, you can't just keep kicking the can down the road because you don't want to go through the pain. Does it mean that maybe we find out that several convictions get overturned and people go back? Maybe it does. But it, you know, as the saying goes, it's better for 100 criminals to walk free than one wrongfully convicted person to be in prison. And I agree with that. And that's a hard thing to say, because all of us are very victim centric and we want justice for the victim. But you can't just start, because you can't use that as an excuse to just throw any old person away in prison, especially when you go into demographics where you just decide that these people don't matter. And that's oftentimes exactly what happened. Well, we'll just throw this person in prison because they don't matter. And then it looks like justice, but the victim never actually got their justice.
Absolutely not. I want to shout out Aaron in the chat, who also I would reckon is probably the same person who posted a couple of things in the follow-up Facebook post. Aaron, if I'm wrong about that, please feel free to correct me. But Aaron is in here and has a very good understanding of the Missouri system and things that have been happening. Aaron says, Missouri has also opposed vacating the convictions of Sandra Hemme, or Hem, if I'm mispronouncing that, I apologize, and Christopher Dunn just in the last month, all supported by county prosecutors.
Isn't Dunn the one that was actually declared actually innocent and is still in prison, like years later?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And Aaron says, in Missouri, a conviction can't be overturned on the basis of actual innocence without a prosecutor filing to vacate. And the prosecutor filing just became an option in 2021. She says, I hate it here. Well, you're fighting the good fight, Aaron. Yes, Christopher Dunn was declared actually innocent in 2020 and is still sitting in a Missouri prison.
Yeah, that's the one. I remember hearing that story and just thinking in my research of this case and thinking, I didn't get into it enough to understand what the legal hoops are being jumped through there. But it's like, how do you get declared actually innocent and then years later you're still sitting in prison?
Well, Aaron says it is her that posted in the Facebook, so maybe that would be a good segue over to talking a little bit about what some listeners have posted for us to discuss to continue the conversation.
Okay.
Aaron says, yes, it's the same person, and Aaron volunteers with the Missouri Innocence Project. So again, thank you for being a part of that fight.
Thanks, Aaron.
Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
So Michelle and Sue had just kind of asked some follow-up questions, wondering about tracing those personal items from the deceased back to Marcellus. And Aaron popped in and said they were tested for fingerprints, not sure about DNA. This 2017 petition for a stay of execution from Marcellus's attorney gives a pretty good overview on pages 13 to 15 of how the items could have ended up in the car. She did post a link to that. I did open it. I did read almost all of the entire post. It's about 21 pages.
Yeah,
and indeed, there's as part of the whole conversation and stuff that you brought up in your episode that we just listened to, there are very big questions around the way that the information came to the police, from whom it came, and what that person's connections are to the evidence, to the, you know, their relationship to the accused and the convicted. All of that is, there's some really good information in that document. It's a very easy read.
Well, yeah. And just to quickly summarize the part about the those personal items being traced back to the actual killer. So it doesn't seem like it's in question that Marcellus Williams is the one that sold the laptop to someone. But the laptop came from, he said, from his ex-girlfriend, Asaro, I think is her last name. But then there was something in there where it came from this car that there was this car that wasn't running, was broke down. It was known that his ex-girlfriend was living in that car. It was literally a broken down car that didn't run anymore. They found, like, in the search when they found, like, the laptop and the other personal effects in that car, there were also, like, letters to her that had nothing to do with Marcellus Williams. Like, it was very clear, and she was destitute and homeless at the time. That's all broken down in those motions that were referenced there. It's very clear she was living in the car, and I think they wrote in the defense's motion, they put in there, like, she had every reason to frame Marcellus Williams for this, and they listed out a couple of different scenarios. You can read the motion to see what those were. But for, I mean, there's just the $10,000 reward. And if she had access to those items, it was that easy just to say that, oh yeah, he stole them from this guy when he murdered his wife. But there's no actual evidence that that happened. It was her. It was her that was living in the car with those items in there that was not owned by Marcellus Williams or her. I can't remember the name of the guy. Hill, I think, was the last name of the person that owned the vehicle. But yeah, so that's, and I hope that was the question that was posed to me in a couple different places, was if I could talk about the tracing of the personal items back to the actual killer. I think that's what they're talking about, is that those items were found in the car that his ex-girlfriend, who was the witness against him, was living in.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So if you want to jump back for a second on the Christopher Dunn, in 2020, the judge decided that a jury wouldn't likely find him not guilty based on new evidence, but because of a 2016 Missouri Supreme Court ruling, only death row inmates could have a freestanding claim to actual innocence, and he was not a death row inmate. So that's why they declined to exonerate him.
So the ruling still stands, but he's not exonerated and is still in prison.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is going on in Missouri?
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Okay, backing up to Kathy, who also posted, who is denying the state's overturning the conviction on actual innocence? Why would anyone not support the DA when he says they got it wrong? It makes no sense to me that they would knowingly put an innocent man to death. Absolutely, that's what we've been talking about. But you mentioned it earlier that it's the attorney general and the governor, essentially, and particularly the attorney general, right, who's just saying, like, no.
That's my understanding.
We don't care.
I'll look and see. If maybe Erin, who volunteers with the Midwest Innocent Project that we just had in the chat, maybe if she might be able to clarify that. But that was my understanding, is that a higher court, like the Supreme Court, would have to grant an evidentiary hearing. They need to have an evidentiary hearing. They also need to have a hearing on the motion from the prosecutor, and they're just not doing it. She just popped in and said, we're waiting for the new judge's ruling now.
That's for Christopher Dunn.
Oh, that's for Dunn. Okay, gotcha. Mm. So, Aaron, we'll kind of move on before I try to fumble through an explanation. But if you can pop in and share with us why, like, what powers, how is it happening? Because when I kept saying it was bizarre, it's because it doesn't compute with me. I don't understand how at the circuit court level you have the prosecutor filing a motion to overturn the conviction, how levels above there they're stopping that and they're moving forward with the execution. The only thing I think of is like the Anand Syed case, right? What's going on?
That's exactly what I was going to bring up.
Yeah. So you have,
or you hear the AG's office suddenly weighing in heavy on something that you're like, why do you care so much about this?
Yeah, it should have been handled in the court where it was handled, but then the attorney general's office is fighting and going through all these appeals that are going on. So, and that's why I want to remind you guys, always know, Bob is not a lawyer. So,
Sarah says, for those of us that live in Missouri or in St. Louis County, Missouri, is it better to contact the prosecuting attorney's office, the governor or the attorney general or all three? Sarah did sign that petition. Maybe that's something, Aaron, too, that you can weigh in on, since I'm sure your involvement with the Innocence Project in Missouri will provide a better answer than we can.
Yeah, if we get a comment there, I would say to me, it seems like I would be writing to the governor and to the attorney general. I would not be writing to the Missouri Supreme Court or justices or anything like that. That's, don't do that. They should not be swayed by public opinion. That's their job, is to not be swayed by public opinion. But I think that you should, in my personal opinion, again, that would be something to look through on the Innocence Project pages. To the governor, the elected office of the governor absolutely should know how the people feel about what's going on here and him doing his job. Because he could also grant clemency at any time, too. Also, the attorney general's office. And it looks like Aaron did just weigh back in on that. On a previous question, she said, yes, but they refused to have a hearing until Greeton, that's the... that was the previous governor's board of inquiry, issued their report and recommendation, which they never did. Parsons is banned in the book. Okay, yeah. So I just processed all that in my brain. So the previous governor that had the board of inquiry that was supposed to be investigating the case, then you have the prosecutor that filed the motion to vacate the conviction. That would need to have a hearing, but then they weren't going to move forward until the board of inquiry gave their final recommendation. But before they were able to give their final recommendation, the new governor disbanded the Board of Inquiry, so it no longer exists, so there can't be a recommendation. I don't know who's decided that they're precluded from having a hearing unless this board exists and gives a recommendation, but that's what's happening right now.
Well, Aaron says, pressure to the governor and the AG would be great. Prosecutor Wesley Bell is with us, so be nice to him. Noted. Aaron, thank you. And, you know, earlier, I saw a couple of you, like Jen and Kathy, talking about how impossible it is to imagine what stuff like this does for your mental health, whether you're a family of a wrongly convicted, whether you're a family member of a victim and finding out that people didn't do their jobs, or whether you are the person in prison who shouldn't be there. It's impossible to even imagine. And then when you hear about stuff like this, where it just starts to sound, if you'll pardon the reference, very Faustian, where it's like, you're just going around and around pointing at law or pointing at, well, we had to wait for this, so that didn't happen. And that's what's happening to you as you're trying to get documents, you know, all of that stuff that just feels like, again, I keep saying the machine, but it's just very powerful when a system is in place and then it starts to just lean on these tiny little nitpickings to get in the way of something that's so overwhelmingly obvious. It's maddening. And my heart goes out to anybody who's in the thick of it in a very personal way, because it could drive you crazy. It really could.
It could. And also just keep in mind, when we're talking about that machine, your brain wants to go, or my brain wants to go to, okay, but there should be a simple fix to at least stop this thing from happening. There is. So just know that there is. That governor, with a stroke of a pen, can stay the execution. That doesn't even mean overturning the conviction, doesn't mean setting him free. But with a stroke of a pen, that governor could say, okay, let's stay the execution until we figure out what the hell is going on here. And I guess maybe their position is, we have figured out, but we haven't. There's the same questions exist today that existed before. They're still just sitting there. But that could be done very easily without any processes. That just the power the governor has to stay that execution.
It's just such a weird stance to take, to come in and make that, like, that does make me wonder who's in his ear. Like, why is this so important right now? And understandably, yes, the AG is calling for the execution, but was the AG's office in his ear saying, like, we just really can't wait to murder this person. Please.
Right.
Please step in and make it possible. Like,
makes absolutely no sense. All right. Well, that was really good discussion. Again, if you have not signed the petition, go ahead and get that done. I'll put a link in the description for this again. We do need to wrap things up here. It's going on 1 p.m. Eastern time for us here, and I have 1 hour to get all this stuff exported and reset before I'm going to be interviewing Jim Clementi for this week's episode. So if you're a patron at 2 p.m. Eastern time, keep a lookout in the Patreon app because you will be able to join that interview live and participate in that discussion if you would like. And for everybody else, you'll have that episode on Sunday. All right, with that being said, thanks everybody for joining and listening and participating. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production. All music for the show is created and composed by Shane Yoder at PutThemInASong.com. The font you see on all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com designed, created, manages, and maintains our website, Truth and Justice Pod, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Erica Cantor, Melissa Cardenas, Kaywood Yomnick, and Danielle Rohr. And as always, thank you to all of you for your engagement and your support. If you like the show and you want to support us, you can do that in a number of ways. The number one way for you to support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. If you join our Patreon, not only will you be financially supporting our work, but you'll also get something for your pledge. For just $5 per month, you'll get all episodes ad-free and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups that include an hour-long pre-show chat exclusive to our patrons. Other levels will get you a Truth and Justice Army t-shirt, Truth and Justice hats, and even the opportunity to co-host a Friday follow-up episode. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a case that you'd like us to consider covering, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. For all of you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod. To follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found @BobRuffTruth, Janet can be found @JanetBarney, and Zach is @Z2TheQ. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabae, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabae sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.